Thank you, Kane. 8:07 now on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by our good friends over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK do great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. We talked about it before, the hiring process that they have over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I know the main CEO of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, he was talking a couple years ago about what shifted in his business that really made 1-800-GOT-JUNK become popular. And his idea was to start hiring people that, you know, he would have a beer in the backyard with or wouldn't mind sitting down for coffee in a coffee shop. Just somebody you want to hang out with and is a good person. And that's really what makes a great business. And 1-800-GOT-JUNK certainly has great people. They do great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. And this is how it works. If you couldn't tell by the name, if you have a bunch of junk and you don't know where to take it, or if it's too big to move, or if you don't know whether you're supposed to throw it in the dumpster or do away with it another way, well, the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK have you covered. You make your appointment with them, and what's great about 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they show up exactly on time, not some big four-hour window of when they may or may not show up. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to the website 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Set up your appointment. They'll be there exactly when you're expecting them. And also, just as importantly, the price you get quoted is the price you'll pay. Like Sean Sullivan has said before, even if you got like bowling balls sitting underneath all the blankets that they've got to move, if it's heavier, well, they'll still come and take care of it for you. Like I said, they're locally owned, and everybody I know that's called 1-800-GOT-JUNK have nothing but glowing reviews. Once again, to get a quote and set up your appointment, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. This is Mobile Mornings, and we're kicking off this Friday morning. We've got Kelly Finley in studio, as always.
Good morning.
And we're joined by Jeff Poore. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
I know you're hosting the midday show today, and I'm looking forward to all kinds of great things in that. But last night, why don't you tell the folks where you were?
So in Niceville, over in the Florida Panhandle, maybe about like a little over an hour from here, Donald Trump Jr. Was kind of the keynote for a rally for the congressman over there and in Florida's 1st Congressional District, Matt Gaetz. I would say probably a little more, even more Republican than Alabama's 1st Congressional District here because of all the military and just sort of the composition of the voter over there. But what I took away from that, I think they're trying to get out the vote effort. Matt Gaetz is, you know, you've probably seen him on Fox News a lot. He's very much an ally and advocate of President Donald Trump. But he had some dignitaries over there, and it looked to me, so in Florida, there's kind of a contentious gubernatorial race. There's, at least for the older Republican side and the Democratic side as well, because their primary is until August 28th. So you have a kind of the establishment Republican guy over there, Adam Putnam. He's the agriculture commissioner. And then you have the for better lack of a better word, the Make America Great Again guys, Ron DeSantis. He's a congressman over there from the Daytona Beach area. Those are the two guys running for the gubernatorial nod. And that's who the Gaetz and sort of the more right-of-center crowd and not the establishment Republican. Maybe some more populated areas would go with it, Adam Putnam. But so what they're trying to do is, you know, Florida Panhandle's Alabama light, for lack of a better term, lower Alabama. They're trying to, I think, get out the vote, get some enthusiasm, and really run up the score in the panhandle for Ron DeSantis. So you had Donald Trump Jr. come, and you had, like I said, you had Matt Gaetz and Ron DeSantis, and they had a rally over there, about 1,000 people. I mean, meanwhile, there's another Trump rally, I think, in Ohio.
It was in Pennsylvania last night.
Pennsylvania, yeah. Right? So it's at the same time. But you have this, you had a, you know, all the Make America Great Again hats and the Bikers for Trump and all the things you would see at a Trump rally last night over in Niceville.
And you said Ron DeSantis is the Make America Great Again candidate. You know, I wouldn't know that watching his latest TV ad. Have you seen
the
baby
wearing the Make America Great Again onesie? I mean, I thought that was pretty funny, and it'll probably serve him well in this
election. Clever, yeah. Well, you look at the base, the Republican base everywhere is. I guess no, actually here in Alabama we had everybody run as Trump Jr. who is the Trumpiest. I think
they weren't running as Trump Jr.
Right,
because he was there last night.
So I mean, he just took it to DeSantis just took it to that logical extreme. And the weird thing about Florida is it is a purple state. It's still got a viable. You could be a Democrat and get elected statewide in the state of Florida, right? So. you know, the thing that's interesting to me is if you're a candidate and you're going to run with Trump and try to be the Trumpiest, does that hurt you later on in the general election? And are we at a point in our politics, especially in a midterm, is this a base election where it's whoever can get out their base the most? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter who can be the moderate, work across the aisle mm-hmm. candidate. You just have to outdo each other's side instead of trying to, you know, come and get the middle anymore.
Right.
That ad, though, it was almost like a Saturday Night Live skit, because it was so over the top, so tongue-in-cheek, that if nothing else, you remember it, and that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Whether you agree or not, I mean, it was like, how many ways could he find to show his adoration and support for President Trump? And it's pretty funny.
I mean,
it's
better than anything Twinkle yeah. Kavanaugh or anybody ever here did, right?
it was very creative. Uh-huh. I mean, and it moved quite quickly. I mean, his wife's facial expressions are pretty funny, too.
Jeff, you mentioned that while Trump Jr. was in Florida yesterday at the rally you were at, Trump was in Pennsylvania. And you, of course, have been to a lot of President Trump's rallies and get-togethers. How rah-rah, were there many similarities to this? I guess it was smaller than most Trump rallies that they had in Florida yesterday, but with these candidates up there and Trump Jr., was it markedly different? Of course, they didn't have the big guy. They didn't have President Trump up there firing everybody up. But was the crowd getting as fired up or even close to as fired up as when Trump shows up?
Not. You mean it's a small – it's like going from a, you know, a college game to a high school game, I'd say.
Yeah.
But the funny you should ask this, though, because the one thing I did notice – so with Donald Trump Jr., he obviously has a Secret Service detachment that, mm-hmm. you know, that's there for him. The security was much more difficult to get into this event for Donald Trump Jr. than it was for a Donald Trump presidential rally.
Really?
They didn't let the WKRG 5 TV crew in.
Yeah.
Because,
well,
so
what?
they made him wait for a bomb-sniffing dog. Apparently, you had to be there at 2 p.m. for a 7 p.m. rally to get your camera equipment sniffed mm-hmm. by the bomb-sniffing dog. Mm-hmm. So, I guess 5 is the ABC affiliate over Pensacola. They were already set up and ready to go.
Uh-huh.
The KRG wasn't – they made him wait for like an hour. They had to call in a bomb-sniffing dog.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, like, I've been to, like, so many of these rallies over the years that, you know, you're just kind of running from rally to rally to rally, and, mm-hmm. and everything kind of happens. You try to get there about an hour ahead of time or so to set up.
Mm-hmm.
But they just had these unrealistic expectations for Donald Trump Jr. with the Secret Service. And I thought, you know, even for me getting in, it was a lot more strict than you would for the President of the United States. So that's the one thing I was kind of, you know,
that's
like a red flag.
But do you think it's because WEAR is the only affiliate over there, and so they're well-versed?
I think there's some games being played. Well, oh, okay.
Well, no, they send out media advisory, the Gates campaign does.
But I'm just saying, but they know them. They're dealing with them a lot more than our affiliate here.
Well, it wasn't them. It was the Secret Service, which you would think the Secret Service wouldn't know WKRG for WEAR at all. I mean, it's just the Secret Service.
I know, I understand that part of it, but I'm just saying, if they're familiar, if WEAR has relationships with the local authorities there.
It wasn't the local authorities, it was Secret Service.
Let me get there. Hold on a second. If they've built those relationships with the local authorities, who then are talking to the state authorities, who are then talking to the federal authorities, because everything's about relationships, then there may have been some sort of edge given to the local stations, is what I'm saying.
I think they were just late.
I mean, okay.
Are you coming over from Mobile instead of Pensacola?
Well, you were there, so you would know. But I also would say that, you know, there's a heightened, you know, sensitivity right now to what's going on in our nation, whether you agree or disagree, and to know that this is the president's son, and then he now is outwardly dating a very public personality as well with Kimberly Guilfoyle, who used to be, you know, at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of heightens it as well, because people know that they want to get, if you want to get a parent's attention, you mess with their kid. And that's why I would think that security would be heightened, just because.
But more than the President of the United States?
Not necessarily more than, but at an increased level, because we all know that if you can have a tough mom and a tough dad, but their weak spot is their children. And if you mess with their kid, if you do anything, you're going to get a whole different reaction. At least the type of mom I am and the type of father I know my husband is. I'm just saying.
It's like that. There's like a kids movie years back, like First Kid. It was about the first kid in the White House. And I think Sinbad was his security detail. I don't know why that reminded me of that. But speaking of Trump Jr. and speaking last night, did you kind of get a vibe? Do you think there's a run for the for maybe political office in his future? Did he seem like he was kind of...
Did you watch him at the Republican National Convention in 2016 in Cleveland? I thought he really shined there, but obviously, like, all this Russia stuff, and then obviously the marital problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he'd be a great candidate, but you know, when you look at him, what people are going to attack him and how they're going to go after him. And so Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He never ran for office before, was able to run for president successfully. I don't know anybody else could pull it off, even his son. Is there not an intermediate office he could hold before running for president or something? And where would he run? I mean, he could run perhaps in Florida, but New York, he's not going to win as a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to win with the Donald Trump name in New York. So I don't know, like, where would Donald Trump Jr. run as a candidate to kind of be that stepping stone to something else?
Maybe mayor of the Mar-a-Lago Club or something like that.
That's a good place. I do have a quick question, because you get insight into these, you know, these rallies. What do you pick up on first? I mean, are you there people watching? Are you kind of noticing the shift in, you know, more people wore, you know, Make America Great hats as compared to t-shirts or the signage? Like, what did you see from your vantage point?
The thing you want to look for is just how early the crowd is. It's kind of like if there's a crowd there that's early waiting in line outside. And then the other thing, the protesters, obviously, but you want to look at it just from a pure X's and O's. What's the enthusiasm? What's the temperature? And if you could draw a big crowd early, then that tells you they're willing to go wait in line to go vote. So that translates to me into votes. If it's a crowd, it's kind of trickling in like a Dodgers baseball game or something. Everybody's like, and then that's maybe not quite as. And then, of course, if there's nobody there, if it's a light crowd, you're like, well, that's you know, that's trouble. So it's things like that you pick up on. And how does that translate to votes? And if there's any enthusiasm there for that candidate. And to me, I think 1,000 people for the president's son, is that's a pretty decent number, especially for that part of the state.
Agreed.
Yeah, for sure. More Mobile Morning.
I know. I passed it on to you. I'm sorry.
More Mobile Mornings on the way. This is FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig, Kelly Finley, and Jeff Poor. We'll be right back. Thanks, Kane. 825 on FM Talk 106.5. The segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by Cottage Hill Package Store, the corner of Hillcrest and Cottage Hill. I mean, it's right there in the name. They're on Cottage Hill, of course, and they keep extensive inventory fresh and have the best selection in town. You want to stop by this week, maybe today, to get ready for the weekend. Check out some of the newest adult beverages that you never know, they could just become your new favorite. And I know if you're like me, it's hard to imagine finding something that you like better than your favorite, but Cottage Hill gives you the chance to try hundreds of items in their package store. They have that tap bar up front where you can try just a taste or go ahead and get a cold pilsner. Believe me, you will want to take one of the beers home with you, so they have you covered. They'll fill a crowler or a growler for you if you're taking it in a 4 or 6 pack. So do like me and like their Facebook page, or go ahead and sign up for their tasting event emails so you never miss what's happening at Cottage Hill Package every single week. You know, they always have a craft beer tasting, a wine pairing dinner, or a cigar event on the calendar. They have that huge cigar humidor. Make sure you don't miss out. Cottage Hill Package has the best selection in town, and they're the most fun corner in town at Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. 826 now on FM Talk 106.5. Give us a call, 251-343-0106. And that number works for texts also. I encourage you to check out fmtalk1065.com, where our current poll question, brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, should Governor Kay Ivey debate her gubernatorial opponent Walt Maddox before the general election in November? Right now, the yes vote's getting 62% of the share, no 38%. That's actually up a little bit from yesterday. And right now, our three big things. Did you see these school ratings, Kelly, that came out from this website? What's this website? It's called Niche.
Yeah, you were talking about it earlier this morning.
Yeah,
our news partner, WKRG, also tweeted out a link.
Yeah, so that's where I pulled this story, our news partners over there at WKRG, and this is how they do it. It's this ranking and review website called Niche, and they ranked America's public school systems based on analysis of academic and student data from the U.S. Department of Education, and they went ahead and collected ratings from millions of users of the website. 50% of the ranking came from academic academics, 15% on teacher grades, and then all the rest factored in cultural diversity, absenteeism, facilities, and the options for extracurricular activities. Saraland School is the only system in Lower Alabama to get a grade of an A, and they had an A-, which actually put them 14th among all Alabama school systems. Here are the rankings for all of the Lower Alabama school systems. So Saraland had the A-, Bruton Schools B+, Satsuma B, Thomasville also a B, Baldwin County they gave a B-, Escambia County right there with Baldwin County B-, Monroe County and Mobile County C+, Clark County got a C, Conecuh County, Washington County, and Choctaw County all got C-, and then Chickasaw brought up the back with a D-, and I think Chickasaw had the lowest grades in all of Alabama, but that's from this website Niche, and they went ahead and did all of these rankings. So I'm sure some people probably don't like hearing where their school systems ended up ranked on that, and of course that's not the end-all be-all ranking. That's just from a website that kind of gathered all of their user ratings, but kind of an interesting story there. Also on our website right now, in the three big things, the White House asserts vast effort to protect elections. They were responding to wide-ranging criticism that the White House lacked a clear national strategy to protect U.S. elections. So yesterday, the Trump administration put on a show of force. They said the president had directed a vast government-wide effort to safeguard a cornerstone of American democracy. John Bolton was there. He's the national security advisor, and he wrote in a letter to Senate Democrats that that President Trump has not and will not tolerate interference in America's system of representative government. And wrapping it up with the three big things, Apple yesterday becoming the first $1 trillion company, the world's first publicly traded company to be valued at $1 million. And I had this stat earlier. If you had invested when Mac launched back in 1984, yes, if you had bought into Apple stock, and if you'd invested $10,000, that's what you would have had to start with. Right now, you would have $3.8 million. If you invested that same $10,000 when Steve Jobs returned to Apple back in 1997, now you'd have $2.5 million. And if you had even waited until the iPhone came out back in 2007 to invest, right now you would have $114,260 by investing $10,000 into Mac. And actually, the first company in the world that hit the $1 trillion mark, I don't think they weren't publicly traded, but it was this oil company called PetroChina. So in 2007, their stock went way, way up, and they crossed that $1 trillion mark, but then it crashed right back down after that. So now they're only worth $205 billion. That's all. Just $205 billion is PetroChina. But Apple yesterday cleaning up, hitting that $1 trillion mark. 251-343-0106 is the number. And if I can get this phone system working here, we'll pull up.
And I love when we talk about Apple, because for those who are not in the know, of course, Tim Cook is from Robertsdale.
Yes,
so he's got that connection.
War Eagle.
And he went to Auburn. There you go.
I knew Jeff was
Does he give back much to Auburn?
Yeah, he was at the Iron Bowl. You see him in all lots of promos for Auburn, and I'm sure there's some kind of monetary contributions to the university as well.
Yeah, very cool.
I like that when people make it big and they don't forget where they came from.
Well, he's a Duke basketball fan.
Alabama standpoint, wherever you whatever your connection is that makes you give, that's where he came.
He's an Auburn grad and Auburn football fan, but he cheers for Duke basketball. Like, what's that all about? Come on,
that's insane. Coming back, we'll hit the phone lines, 343-0106. More Mobile Mornings on the way. Thanks, Kane. 836 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, 251-343-0106. That's our phone number. You can call us or text us, and we'll answer you either way. All right, now we head to those phone lines and talk to Wayne in Saraland. Good morning, Wayne.
Well, good morning, guys. It is great to be a Saraland Spark.
Yeah. Oh. Coming at the top of those school rankings from down in Lower Alabama.
You know, the only thing about that, of course, those rankings, some of them are kind of subjective.
Yep.
Niche is pretty well respected. But it really kind of angered me just a little bit, because we don't have the 14th best school system in the state.
What number would you put yourself at?
We have the best school system.
There you go.
I felt like that was coming, Wayne. So what do you want to talk about this morning?
Well, I really wanted to speak to Miss Kelly. My wife was at an event yesterday put on. She works for Mobile County Public School Systems, and she was at the Mitchell Center.
Oh.
And she came home raving about this lady that spoke to them and how you did such a great job.
Oh,
and she was so impressed. I said, well, I'll get to listen to her every day.
please tell her I said thank you. Thank you for...
I will do that. So I just wanted to let you know that you made quite the impression yesterday.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to be there. And I tell you, we were pumped up. It was a pep rally like I've never seen.
Really?
I was ready for the Super Bowl to kick off at that very point because it was amazing to be able to highlight, people like your wife, the teachers, the faculty, yes, but the cafeteria workers, the maintenance workers, I mean, the curriculum that's offered to these children. And our guest speaker talked about the importance of seeing the light in people.
Exactly.
So, that was beautiful.
Right.
Thank you for the phone.
You guys have a great weekend. I just wanted to brag on you, Miss Kelly.
Oh, I appreciate you. Go Spartans.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Wayne. 251-343-0106. So we got a lot we could talk about this morning. One of the things that I wanted to bring up here, and I mentioned it earlier in the show, but with Jeff sitting in now, kind of wanted to get your opinion on some of this here, Jeff. Trump, of course, was tweeting last week or earlier this week about possibly forcing a government shutdown or allowing the government to shut down in order to get more border funding, in order to get that wall built. Well, yesterday at that rally he was at in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, he was there for Representative Lou Barletta, who's running for Senate in Pennsylvania. Trump was there endorsing him. But he reiterated that he is willing to let the government shut down. He said, we're about to get really nasty over the wall. We're either getting it or we're shutting down government. We need border security. And he reiterated again, we need border security. So he believes a standoff would be worth the chance to force Congress's hand over border funding, just like he did at the beginning of the year when the government shut down for 3 days over that resolution for DACA recipients that also ensnared the wall funding. But I want to get your take on this, and it's something we ask every time that the government possibly could shut down. Who wins in this situation, in your opinion? The Republicans, the Democrats, neither?
Well, it's like a three-way race right now. It's sort of the Democrats, obviously, but then there's the Republicans that kind of run Congress, and they have ran Congress with Trump as president, but kind of have done it separately, independently of Trump. And then there's the Trump faction and, the people that are, openly in Trump's column and Trump himself. But there's an odd sort of relationship between Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump. Well, we've heard from that faction, in the Senate, the leadership in the Senate, that they're not interested at all in a shutdown of the government for this border wall, especially from Alabama's Senator Richard Shelby, who's the chairman of Appropriations. He is vehemently against it, it sounds like. He wants to get back to regular order. We've been doing these spending bills and this sort of patchwork thing just to keep the government open. And the shutdown, the bringing the government to the brink every time these bills expire was something they were trying to get away from in the Senate. But now to hear that Trump would force a shutdown if they didn't get wall funding, that probably doesn't bode well for staying with the regular order. But I do think it's kind of interesting that they've had 2 years where Trump ran on the wall, and somehow Mitch McConnell's avoided making it even getting a vote or anything for it. And so to me, the real tension in this sort of soap opera is between Mitch McConnell and the Senate leadership and between Donald Trump and those that would back Trump. And I think he has more support in maybe the House than he does the Senate. But the dynamic really is the Democrats are going to do what they're going to do, and then you have this inner sort of fight inside the Republican Party.
When we talk about support along the same lines for the president, because very few people go against him without understanding you're going to catch some heat, right? But were you surprised at all that his daughter spoke out against what has happened when it came to the chat about the immigration talk and the children that, were being brought into the country, some thinking illegally, some maybe they were trying to escape harm, but either way that she spoke out saying that it was a low point during her time as she's been as part of the administration?
Well, there's a weird thing going on. So I don't know if you read Michael Wolff's Fire and Fury. Mm-hmm. There's factions within the White House and the West Wing. There's the Jared Kushner, mm-hmm. Ivanka wing, and then there was the Steve Bannon wing, which kind of got nuked over time. And there's not much of that left. But over time, that there's been kind of a calming moderating force between the two sides, and I think we're seeing the Ivanka kind of more liberal Jared Kushner wing kind of work its way out of the West Wing. We really saw the right side of that equation with the Steve Bannon wing kind of working out. I think you're having more with General Kelly as the chief of staff as the moderating influence kind of coming in and getting things in order. And I think as that, as the power wanes on the Jared Kushner side, I think that's why you're hearing from Ivanka. She's starting to speak out. And I think that is inevitably going to work its way out of the West Wing of the White House, and we'll have sort of something in between what we had at the very beginning of the Trump administration.
And, you know, it was really interesting yesterday afternoon, Trump tweeting about what his daughter said. And
right.
He said, "They asked my daughter Ivanka whether or not the media is the enemy of the people. She correctly said no. It is the fake news, which is a large percentage of the media, that is the enemy of the people." It's just funny. And of course, Trump's not afraid to tweet about anything and let his feelings be known. But I remember when Melania, at one point, she said something that people were saying was, against what President Trump was doing. And I think I remember him coming out and tweeting, no.
She was wearing a jacket.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
The jacket at the border. And he said, no. That's not what she meant. And kind of the same thing happening here with Ivanka.
Well, in terms of the tweet that we're referencing, what her quote was is this: "That was a low point for me as well. I feel very strongly about that. I am very vehemently against family separation and the separation of parents and children. Immigration is incredibly complex as a topic."
And, I kind of thought that the way this, the whole Trump plan was going, it made sense to me if he was kind of like a good cop, bad cop thing, where if Trump's going to be the bad cop that's getting things done, tell me, where were you on Wednesday night? And then I thought that Melania or Ivanka or both would come in and be the good cop. Like, hey, Trump means, my father, he means well. This is what he actually wants, but he knows this is the way to get it done. But he really has a kind heart. I kind of thought that was going to be the modus operandi of the Trump administration, but seems like Ivanka and Melania, especially Melania lately, has taken a huge step away from anything that has to do with the White House.
Well, it's tough too. If you want to be that moderating, that calming influence, the sort of the good cop or the diplomat to that side, the way people are, if you're against Trump, you're against everything Trump. I mean, what Samantha Bee, going after Ivanka like she did. I don't think you could really play that middle if you had the Trump name attached to you. I think that people are just going to hammer you no matter what you do. There's just kind of in a no-win situation.
And
I was going to just say, no matter what you do for a living, whenever you have families that work together, it's interesting to see how that dynamic plays out. And, I mean, husbands and wives disagree. We're all married here. We get that.
What's the problem with bringing your family into the White House?
There you go. See, and that's what I'm getting.
Like, I don't understand why that was a thing. I've never understood that. But that's what's going to happen. You're going to have problems.
That's right. And fathers and daughters disagree. And so this, we're seeing this play out. And I think it's what's intriguing is that she did that. And yet, of course, she still remains her father's child.
Mm-hmm.
But let anybody else do that, they would have had a totally different reception.
And earlier we were talking about the rally for DeSantis Gates that you were at last night.
Right.
And with Trump Jr. being there, and I asked whether you think he might have a future in political office. Maybe it's Ivanka. Maybe she's the one that in the future will have that Trump name and runs for office.
I think she's soured with the Trump name, though. Anybody runs against her, they're going to bring that up. They're going to bring up who her daddy was, and they're just going to... She stood by and let her father do these horrible things, so she can't run as a Republican. Maybe she could.
Well, you could say the same thing
about... She runs a Republican and Democrat state, but she can't win as a Republican and Democrat state. So she has to run as a Democrat, and you think a primary point is not going to bring up the fact that her father was Donald Trump, one of the most hated Republicans ever.
But you could say the same thing about Chelsea Clinton. You think she'll run eventually?
I think she's a little safer place. She could run in New York with the Clinton name, and just because by virtue of being a Clinton, then you get that name ID, and it may not necessarily be tied to what you stand for, but people hear Clinton and they think, I kind of liked it when Bill Clinton was president, and maybe this is kind of the same thing.
I don't know, man. I think maybe both are soured. Maybe both of their names may make it difficult.
Well, I would say Chelsea Clinton is more in line with her parents' ideology than Ivanka is with Donald Trump's.
It's interesting to think about what the future may hold for some of these, I guess, young guns, you could call them, that have the parents that have been in office. And you mentioned Kushner earlier. Of course, there was some news yesterday that Trump staffed up that Mideast team for the peace plan that's been talked about for 2.5 years, bringing peace to the Middle East. So Kushner is back in the news, finally putting a team together and maybe eventually... maybe.
Well, that's a tough one. You send your son-in-law to solve the Middle East, which has been at odds for the last, for eons and eons and eons.
That's got to be like the most difficult problem in the world to solve, is Middle East peace. I mean, it's a cliche at this point, solving the Middle East peace. Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. They're still working on it, though. 848 now on FM Talk, or they'll get to work on it. 848 now, FM Talk 106.5. More Mobile Mornings on the way. This is FM Talk 106.5. Take on me. 8:54 now.
Take me on.
There we go. Teamwork makes the dream work. 8:54 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Hey, in this segment of the show, presented by the Original Oyster House. Of course, they have two locations. The Original Oyster House in Gulf Shores at the foot of Highway 59, and the one right here in Mobile on the Causeway. And this is your daily reminder. Don't forget, they have that awesome sunset contest going on. It's the Original Oyster House Spectacular Sunset Contest. And what you do is you show up right around sunset. You might want to get there a little bit ahead of time so you can plan your shot. Take a picture of the beautiful sunset, because everybody knows we have the best sunsets down here on the coast. You take a picture and make sure you're inside or right outside of the Original Oyster House. When you take that picture, you upload it to facebook.com/originaloysterhouse, and make sure you include the hashtag OOHSunset. You can even tag your friends right underneath that and kind of campaign to try to be the best sunset photo and get likes, and they'll take that into account along with, of course, how pretty the picture is. And the winner will end up getting dinner for two from the Original Oyster House. And there's also a lot of other great prizes, including Original Oyster House tote bags filled with goodies. You'll have to register before August 31st at 8 p.m., so you have the rest of this month, which should be plenty of time. And why not just show up every single day and get some sunset photos? That way you heighten your chances of winning that great contest. So once again, Original Oyster House, two locations in Mobile on the Causeway and in Gulf Shores at the foot of Highway 59. And make sure you check them out online at originaloysterhouse.com. And as we wrap up this Mobile Mornings for Friday, and once again, Sean Sullivan will be back on Monday, but I wanted to get to the story before the end of the week because it's pretty funny to me. And you know Canada Dry ginger ale. Mm-hmm. Have you had Canada Dry before?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they kind of tout... Oh, okay. I'll just get to the story here. So Julie Fletcher, she's this woman in Buffalo, New York, and she went ahead and filed a lawsuit against Canada Dry and its parent company, which they're owned by Dr. Pepper Snapple. And she filed this lawsuit for common law fraud, deceit and or misrepresentation, breach of express and implied warranties, and unjust enrichment.
Well, what the heck happened to her?
That's a great question. She says that Canada Dry is providing false advertising because they promise consumers the health benefits of ginger, which has been used to help with inflammation, nausea, high cholesterol, digestive issues, and muscle pain. I mean, I've abided by that. If somebody says if I tell somebody I have a tummy ache or something along those lines, they'll say, "Hey, why don't you drink some ginger ale? That'll calm it right down for you."
Lady, come on.
Seriously, I mean, she has to know that there wasn't actually ginger in the ginger ale.
Yeah, well, no offense. I mean, where I grew up in Michigan, we drank Verner's. So
Verner's.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. It's like, think ginger ale meets cream soda. They actually sell it here in public. So when I first arrived here, I started screaming, and my kids were like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" They sell Verner's. And so that's what we have with vanilla ice cream. It's called a Boston Cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a float. But
I've never had one of those.
Don't worry, I got you covered.
Please, you have to.
It's life changing.
And what's the other drink you're always talking about?
Fago.
Okay,
they sell that
pop too.
It's pop.
Pop.
Yes.
No, it's soda.
There is a
Coke
billboard on the side of I-10 that shows you. I mean, it talks about pop.
Oh man. Well, now.
But the woman, she's suing because of she's saying that they're not as healthy for her body as she. As they claim.
Yeah, she's saying because there isn't actually ginger in the ginger ale, she's suing. And I'm sure a lawyer probably brought this to her attention.
Well, did you see the guy getting pulled down for the ginger plant in the Canada Dry commercial? You know what
that's
talking about?
That's part of this. They said the television commercials were misleading.
Because it looks like there's a lot of ginger.
Right. Yeah, well, you can sue for anything nowadays. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this turns out. But
you know, you could always read the back of the label and figure it out yourself.
Seriously. Nobody does that anymore. Kelly?
What?
All right, that does it for us on Mobile Mornings. Jeff Poor hosting Midday Mobile for Sean Sullivan.